This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Theoretically, I think important. I think that just trying to, you know, fortify the roster in any way possible. You know, I think that you always try to think about what things can go wrong, how to get better in each area. And I think that's kind of how we spent the end of this offseason, trying to think about where we felt vulnerable. And I think that that's an area that we felt particularly vulnerable.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's Jed Hoyer talking yesterday out in Arizona, and that's the good news, that Justin Turner does give them a little more leeway, a little more pop off the bench, a little something that they didn't have before yesterday.
Yeah, you feel good about it. Sure. I think you feel good about it because you're tired of feeling bad about losing Alex Bregman. If you're a Cub fan, you rationalize how this is a smart signing and it's a good clubhouse guy. Versatility. He's got a bat that'll still be effective, you think, at this stage of his career. It's hard to assume anything about a 40-year-old on a one-year deal for a reduced rate, even at $6 million. But he's not getting paid $6 million necessarily to sit and maybe have 200 at-bats. He's going to be used and utilized. And you know there's going to be a need for a designated hitter. There could be an injury in the outfield. You don't know what to anticipate. You hope not, but they're protected now. Their bench is better than it was a year ago right now. I think at least if infield depth, John Birdie and Justin Turner give them more certainty off the bench than they had a year ago. And I think that's a small thing, but not insignificant.
Yeah, I think it comes down to how the younger stars are developing and how the younger players are doing. And obviously Matt Shaw is one of the most important Cubs going into this season. And it's, hey, he by all accounts, good young guy, you know, but that moving from prospect to established player is always the tricky turn of events for anybody coming up.
And it takes years,
you know, plural. It'd be nice if you didn't. It'd be nice if you landed on one of these guys, we see them around baseball, well, who come up and fit in immediately.
You'd like that to happen. That to happen in
just
Matt
one
Shaw have a rookie of the year type performance.
From day one, just
that's
go,
it.
And that's, you know,
the
you
certainty,
see that in different places, and then you look at the local teams.
You thought that was going to happen a little bit with PCA last year. You thought that maybe he would be a guy that, and by the end of the year, I think you did have
he was a more polished product. Yeah, he was good.
But I don't know, did he remove all doubt? Does a prospect really ever do that until he's established? I wouldn't say Pete Crow Armstrong is established at center field. He's a guy that you still need to see take another step. And Miguel Amaya, even though his second half was encouraging, he fits in the same category. Matt Shaw, what you're describing is to have a type of rookie season
yeah.
that you see other rookies have, but seldom happens, it seems. You want him to have a Chris Bryant-like rookie season.
Well, I mean, you know, you hate to say that.
2015 and Chris Bryant.
Because that's asking an awful lot, but that's exactly correct.
You want...
That's what you would... You in the best and the most ideal of all worlds, it would be that.
I would say that was a long time ago because it was.
It was a long time ago.
It was a decade. And people will feel old hearing that, but it was 10 years ago that Chris Bryant in 2015 was the rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And that team set the stage for a World Series champion. And will that be this year's version of the Cubs? That's probably overly optimistic. But I would love to see, 10 years later, Matt Shaw do a pretty good impersonation of Chris Bryant and hold down the fort at third base in a way that makes him all-star caliber. That would be great.
Yeah.
Is he capable? He's a good enough hitter, one would think. Defensively, we saw last year how defensive uncertainty at third base can hurt a team. Christopher Morel, until he got traded, was a liability at a position that you don't want to have any liabilities.
You know, it was really tough with Morel because, you know, you watched him. He came up. He was kind of a contributor. He was fairly impactful. You felt good about, and then you moved him into a position, and it never took. And then you moved him out, and you brought in Isak Paredes, and guess what?
That didn't work either.
That didn't work.
That worked so well that he was trade bait. Yeah. Although it didn't work well enough, it got you to Kyle Tucker, or maybe a year of Kyle Tucker.
There you go.
But he was expendable, and that's your point. And yes, you definitely have questions again at third base that
They're familiar questions.
Is that the position you labeled the other day, the boogeyman position for the Cubs?
I felt that it had become that after...
I think it's a good question. You asked Coombe that question.
Yeah.
And Coombe liked the idea of signing Justin Turner.
Looking forward
to talking to him later this week, maybe.
Yeah.
Because his thoughts on that position and what Justin Turner might be able to offer a team at this stage of his career, especially if he's motivated to be here. That's a little nugget of the story that I think I wondered, how important is that to you? How important do you think that is to notice that Justin Turner reportedly had a more lucrative offer from another team but chose the Cubs?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean that much to me. I know it means a lot to Cub fans. I know it means a lot. To me, it's like, here's a guy who's made a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
He's like nearing the end. He still loves the game. He's hanging on. His missus is from this part of the country. I mean, it just makes a ton of sense that he's not a guy that needs to take every last dime. He needs a quality of life thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be great buzz at Wrigley, as there always is. That will energize anybody.
But you want him to come here because of what they're able to accomplish on the field and in the standings, not necessarily just for the experience of being on the north side.
Well,
and beer and sunshine and enjoying all the benefits of being at Wrigley on a daily basis.
But, David, if you were making that decision – If you're figuring out where you're going to spend the rest of your life, are you going for the most money you can get, or are you going to, you know, try to have the best experience?
I've made what Justin Turner has made as a major league player,
I'm
checking that final box in my career, and I'm saying, okay, this is on my bucket list. I want to play a season at Wrigley. Here we go.
There you go.
Here we go.
So, I mean, and I know that sounds like I'm not being as appreciative of his leaving, you know, $15 on the table, but it just seems like
might have been a little more than 15.
Well, how much?
I don't know.
I'm just saying,
probably not as significant as we're making it out to be.
That's all. So, yeah. So you turn to me, you know exactly what I'm going to say. You agree with me. But you want me to articulate it because, you know, that way I'm the jerk.
You're not the jerk.
That's what you're – that was what you were chasing.
You're not the jerk, but okay.
I feel about as set up as I've ever been.
This is definitely – you were set up. You know me well. So I think that I kind of agree with that because you don't want somebody who's just here to tour a baseball museum. and to say that he was part of that history.
Yeah.
You want somebody who's motivated to contribute, and I think that he will be, but I think that was part of it, and I think you articulated it quite well. So Justin Turner coming to the Cubs is maybe this is his final season. If he's got something left, 350 at-bats, and he can help your team, it is money well spent.
Yeah,
it's a good investment.
Fair enough. Yeah,
fair enough.
I'm glad they got him.
I liked your first idea. Matt Shaw, just go imitate Gunnar Henderson. Win the Rookie of the Year. Be to the Cubs what he is to the Orioles was last year.
We see a lot of guys come up like that.
That's a great example.
And that's a really good example.
And Matt Shaw drafted not that long ago, and he's made a meteoric rise through the system, 35 games at AAA. And you know, back of your mind, the hesitation comes just because of how quickly he has arrived.
And I think it's unfair to compare him to Chris Bryant because they wouldn't let him arrive. They let him kind of, you know, rot on the vine a little bit, right?
Yeah,
he was like a fine dessert wine when he showed
up.
Because they had left him in the minor league. It created bad blood between him and the team.
That lingered.
Lingered for years.
That lingered for years up until he left. Yeah. And I think that's unfortunate because that's part of his Cub legacy, that he was dealt with in a way that made service time a thing. And I don't know that you're dealing with that with Matt Shaw at all.
No.
And I like that pivot. I like the fact that it's not an issue.
I don't know how I feel about it because I go back to when Theo was here and didn't he say things? Now, I don't know if he was just saying this because he was justifying why they weren't moving Chris Bryant as quickly as possible. But he talked about the requirements of playing a certain number of at-bats at each level of the minor leagues. And I kind of always had that in my head that you watch people and they've got to it's
every level.
Just a certain
succeed at every level.
You got to do. You got to get. Just kind of keep.
Don't skip a step.
Don't skip a step.
But Matt Shaw, I think we'd agree. 35 games at AAA.
Looks like he's
starting opening day, third baseman. He'd be skipping a step. Is there any scenario that you would envision that Matt Shaw wouldn't be the opening day third baseman, besides injury?
My mind went immediately to injury.
Yeah.
That's obviously a very possible thing. Does he have an oblique issue of some sort?
Yes, he does. It started slow. I'm not quite sure where he is, but that's on February 19th. You don't want to overreact to an oblique injury, even though it's nothing to dismiss. But I just wonder, could he have the kind of sprain that creates more doubt that exists now and would be somebody that you look at and say, okay, he's not ready yet? I think that would be a really disappointing turn for the Cubs if that's the case. So I wonder if he struggles in the spring, if they would start him anyway and see what they've got.
Boy, for the Bregman crowd out there,
wow, yeah,
of which you are a member, I think that would be especially embittering if he did take a step back and said, and you concluded, they concluded, not quite yet. Probably needs another 6 months, whatever.
Boy, that would be a setback.
It would be.
That would be a tough setback.
Mentally, yeah.
What are
you going to do? That's it. So there were kind of three issues. You had Turner.
Mm-hmm.
You had talk about what is going on. You had the announcement of an opening day starter. So Shota Imanaga will start the first game in Japan on, what is it, March
18th.
18th.
March 18th, and Shota was the guy. There's no real choice here, and there's no real secrecy.
Is that because he's Japanese
and you're
playing
in
Tokyo? I'm just asking.
No, okay. I shouldn't say
because
that.
Because Justin Steele started last year.
Justin Steele was your opening day starter.
Yes.
Justin Steele did not have as good of a season as Shota Imanaga, correct?
He got hurt, though.
He got hurt. Doesn't matter.
Day start.
Bottom line is Shota Imanaga earned this designation as your opening day starter for 2025. Now, you could debate that if the opening was at Wrigley Field or whatever park in the United States. It is in Japan, as we know. Shota Imanaga, Japanese. This is so much
largely ceremonial.
It's both. It's a great luxury here. You have the ceremony, you have the fact that he earned it. You have a reward for Shota, but also the honor of being the opening day starter for the Chicago Cubs in your homeland. That's a huge plus for Craig Counsell. There was no secrecy. There's no secret. I know Dustin was just kind of making fun of that, but there's no secrecy. There shouldn't have been. And this was going to happen all along. Yeah. Makes sense.
He said he was going to start one of the two games. So yeah. Now it's the opening game.
So Justin Steele would probably start the second game. It'd be probably a bullpen game.
I think you're going to use your starters. Going to be a bullpen game. They're not going to be going out and pitching whatever. I don't think that anyone will go six innings, five innings. They're breaking camp to go start opening day in Japan and then come back to camp. It is bizarre when you think about it that they are in the midst. They're going to play a game that counts.
It's just weird.
In the midst of spring training baseball. So you will leave spring training. You will go there, play two games that matter in the standings, but then you'll come back and you'll go back immediately to playing fake games.
Yeah, I don't understand that except for
super weird.
Gives you some time for your regulars to rest and reset and maybe get ready for the regular season and work on things that didn't work in the first two games against the Dodgers if you return home 0-2.
It's just wild.
You might return home 0-2.
Yeah.
And what kind of momentum would you have if you're 2-0? And what does it mean? If those two games, they count.
Will Ohtani hit a home run in Japan?
Absolutely.
Will he hit two home runs?
Probably.
One in each game? Will he pitch at all?
No. I don't think so.
He's
not ready to pitch until May, right?
Vegas Haw here. These could be prop bets. Okay? These could be prop bets.
I saw him pitching. He looked really good.
Yes. He's actually pretty good
pitching. I saw that footage.
Yeah.
But aren't they going to slow play him back to the mound?
I would think so.
I wouldn't think the first two games he's going to be ready to go.
He might be able to.
As long as he's able to participate in the Japan games, I think that'll be enough.
Like, yes.
Right. He doesn't need
what
to
if he
pitch.
Starts and hits a home run and then closes?
Starts the opener.
Yeah.
Homers in both games.
And then closes.
Gets a save in game two.
That's it.
That's the Ohtani
pitches an inning,
parlay.
Or two innings.
That's the Ohtani parlay.
Boy, thanks a lot, Mully.
Mully's got him returning 0-2.
No, I'm saying he's the best player in the world. He's going. No, I don't. It's like spring training. I'm just asking questions about Ohtani because he's the star of stars. Will Seiya Suzuki play in the field in Japan?
You don't think no shot? I think there could be a shot. I don't think there's a shot. I don't think it makes sense.
He doesn't want anyone to know he's a DH.
It's a real trick bag because you're not resting Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker should play 150 or more games.
Well, he should take 9 at bats in Japan.
And also play right field.
He could DH one of the days, but he should have 9 at bats.
Yeah, I don't think that Seiya Suzuki should go in the outfield just because.
He's in Japan.
As we keep talking about it, I think there's a better chance that he does play right field in Japan.
One of the two games?
The second game.
Just to give him
just for both reasons. Number one, you don't need Tucker on his legs that much right off the bat. And number two, because of the internationalness.
Yeah, I guess I'd be fine with that. It's game two.
I just flipped. Yeah.
You talk it out loud. That's
why
we're here.
My neck hurts.
No, don't think out loud. Not in this show. It'll come back. And
don't worry. Mully still got the Cubs 0-2.
I never said that.
You just gave a scenario where he's – so they're at least 1-1.
And did you notice how big he grinned when he was
exactly,
given the scenario?
I hope people watch on Twitch.
That is just mean-spirited from the two of you. I mean, I have nothing but love in my heart. I'm saying – we've seen Shohei Ohtani have big moments internationally.
Yes.
Like when he struck out Trout to win the World Baseball.
We've seen him have big moments in Japan.
Yes.
Last year he fired his interpreter while he was over
there. Speaking of Mike Trout, he might have more big moments, right? You know, he decided to genuflect and, I'm not going to play center field anymore. I'm going to go over to right.
He's going right
field.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his Mike Trout baby voice, right? That's because Mike Trout doesn't play in Wrigley.
Where the Angels open? He'll be playing right field at the rate because they open against the White Sox.
Is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard? The Angels open up the baseball season
so
at the
get,
rate
so
in
they
March.
Get rained out.
In March. Yeah. Or snowed out.
Well, right. I, for one, am looking forward to that game, seeing Mike Trout in right field, Yoan Moncada at third base, and Tim Anderson at shortstop.
How many games will Mike Trout play in right field against the Sox?
If it's a three-game series, he'll play all three.
All three? I'll bet against that.
No, better question is, if he does play all three, how many will you attend? Since you always complain about Mike Trout not being...
I'm Mike Trout.
If Mike Trout is in town, you have to go to one of those games.
Well, if he's the Mickey Mantle of baseball, then, I mean, look at the attendance when Shohei Ohtani showed up to town. Okay?
If the unicorn was here,
and you still had to have like a massive giveaway
Dustin,
to get people to show up.
If he's the Mickey Mantle of baseball, then he's going to drink his knees dry.
Shohei Ohtani is the best player in baseball. That is no longer in doubt.
How many of those games did you go to when he was here?
I don't remember last summer. I don't remember last week. I
don't even know what day it is.
If the unicorn of baseball. That just stopped us all cold.
All right. When we come back.
If the unicorn of baseball comes to Chicago, you should know if you went to the game. You vote for the Hall of Fame.
Why the attack? I know I vote for the Hall of Fame. It doesn't mean I was available that night when Ohtani was in town. I can't remember. I probably didn't go then. I would remember seeing Ohtani in person.
312-644-6767.
Can we talk about this Vlad Guerrero possibility when we come back?
I want
to talk about that.
Let's play fantasy baseball. Pick a team, we'll have all of them come.
We'll do it.
I've got Bregman. 312-644-6767. Falling on the score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I have my number all along. I changed it a little bit. I tried, but it just didn't happen.
Were they close?
No.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the score. So that is the voice. Was the voice of Vlad Guerrero Jr. You did hear his interpreter there. So He used an interpreter, but then when he was asked if they were close, he said no himself.
No. And that's pretty universal, the language of rejection. And that's exactly where they are. So if you're the Blue Jays and you are envisioning one more year of Vlad Guerrero at this stage of his career, and he's still a very young man, what do you do with that news and development? Do you keep him and try to work something else out later? Do you trade him and get something for him before he walks? And that's where it gets interesting for teams like the Cubs. And I understand that there is an element of fantasy baseball here, but I do think that there's not an obligation, but an opportunity to talk through it, because if you are the Cubs and we accept the premise that 2025 carries a sense of urgency, then why wouldn't you at least inquire, if you're Jed Hoyer, about what it would take for a 25-year-old power hitter that would give you some clout in your lineup, especially if you can envision him batting behind Kyle Tucker? Goodness sakes.
Okay, where is he playing?
First base.
Okay.
DH. I think that the trade would have to open up an opportunity. You'd have to be willing to part with a guy like Michael Busch,
okay,
or a guy like Seiya Suzuki. If he were to approve a trade to Toronto, he might be more willing to do that. Who knows?
Nico Horner
could be potentially a guy.
I thought he was off limits.
That was Dustin's suggestion, not mine.
But then why did you immediately said potentially could be?
Well, I don't want to rule it out just because he's my favorite Cub. I'm trying to keep open-minded here. I think if you look at the possibilities of guys you could include in a deal, the major leaguer and two prospect package, which is what got them Kyle Tucker from Houston, then I do think that it would be conceivable, or it's not inconceivable.
So just help me out. If you're trading Horner, and let's say you're trading Michael Busch and Horner.
No, I don't think you trade both of them.
Okay, so you're trading Horner.
I'd now, more rather trade Michael Busch than Horner. I'm sorry if that offends anybody.
Well, you approved the trade of Horner. I'm just saying, who's playing? Who then is your second baseman and who's your backup shortstop?
Those are good questions. Your backup shortstop is maybe Nicky Lopez if he makes the team.
I think he's down in the minor leagues right now.
But he could be called up.
He'd be,
okay. I think the bigger question is, I think you're right. There's one everyday player that's got to go back.
Okay.
There's one. It's who are the two prospects. Mm-hmm. So, you know, are you going to go for a World Series and is Ben Brown and Owen Casey and Michael Busch too much?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that might be a bit much.
Here's the thing.
I do.
Guys, okay. What did they give up for Kyle Tucker?
Was Nasty?
Yeah.
Cam Smith
and
Paredes.
Okay. So you want a deal kind of like that.
Yes.
That's kind of where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to remember that Kyle Tucker is probably just a one-year rental player.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's exactly what you're doing again here.
I think you're right. You're right, Molly. But I think that, again, not to quote Ken Rosenthal, but he did have a nice reference and reminded us in 2016 when Theo Epstein did say, if not now, when? If you're Jed Hoyer, don't you have to be asking a similar question?
Well, for Jed, you need to ask that question because he's the guy that's looking for an extension.
Well, that's my point. That's my point. In the context of your team president, of looking at what to expect and how to make it happen this year, then you're more likely to entertain this hypothetical and to not dismiss it out of hand because you don't want to give up too many prospects who are going to develop into major league players when you may not be here to watch them blossom. So I think that you have a 25-year-old power hitter who had numbers last year that were very impressive and is on the verge of having quite a career. Yeah, you're interested in finding out exactly what it would take. What are the Blue Jays looking for before you make that deal? So, it's everything is on the table.
You know, apparently the offer, he said he sent, I'm talking about Vlad Guerrero, he said mm-hmm. he sent a 9 p.m. deadline where they had to contact him Monday by 9 o'clock and then he was going to go, he wasn't going to sign with them, whatever. Well, they called him at 10:30. And they made him an offer, which you heard him say. The question was: Was it even close? No. That offer was reportedly $340 million on a contract extension, and it wasn't close. He didn't even think about it. He just rejected it. So he apparently wants something in the fours, maybe the five. Who knows? Who knows what he wants? So my point is, you're probably not going to be able to bring him. I still have this. That's a different conversation, though. It's not because I still have this idea in my head that while Kyle Tucker is a 1 year deal, he's going to, you know, knock the lights out and you're going to potentially spend cash on him and bring him back. And if that's the even if that's not true, if I can convince myself into believing that, I can justify the cause of anything they gave up for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I can do it twice because I don't feel like they're going to be signing two guys to that kind of money. See what I mean? And I don't know why, but if it's a pure rental, then I want to spend less for the guy than what we're talking about here. That
I understand why you would say that. I think this has got to be independent of the Kyle Tucker conversation because you're not likely to keep him either.
I know.
If you are looking at this, it's strictly because you value 2025 over everything else.
Yeah, but I don't know how much I value 2025 over everything else.
You're probably going to lose your job.
I don't know how much they value.
You're going to probably lose your job then.
If you don't get back
to the playoffs, I don't know how you bring everything back as is. I think you've got to make the postseason, and you've got to make some noise in October.
But you might right now. You might right now. Nonetheless, do you have to make this over-the-top, seal-it move? Or can you make it now and then when you sit down with ownership, say, hey, not only did we make the playoffs, but look at the minor league system.
If not now,
anybody, well, it's because it's not now. It's maybe next year, maybe after you get an extension, maybe 2 years from now. This is what I'm saying. If not now, when? I don't think they're in that position because I think the problem is the Dodgers probably better than them no matter what.
I think you're probably right, but I want to know that you've done everything possible to challenge that premise. And I just don't know if you are totally out without even... You got to explore it.
All you did with Bregman was window dressing. You were never really in that. You were never really... You chased Bregman like teams chased Otani.
That was money. You have prospect capital that is probably deeper than your pockets. And I think that if you're the Cubs, you've got to be willing to part with some of that.
See,
you get what you pay for.
And I think that if you've built up your minor league system and you've got all these guys,
good debate.
Why give it away when you're not willing to spend the money?
I wonder what Zach thinks.
All right, we'll bring him in next. It's Molly and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Zach Zaidman.
We're live on the radio.
Cubs radio pregame and postgame host.
The 2-1.
High fly ball hit to deep left center field. Forget about it. Long gone. Say Suzuki leaves the yard.
Former Bears radio sideline reporter.
Down here with Jay Cutler. What were you guys trying to do on that play to Martellus Bennett?
We're trying to score.
A man with a great head of hair.
And what color would your hair be, Zach?
Luscious red locks, Pat. Thank you so much for asking. It's real and it's spectacular. Some would refer to it as Syracuse orange.
Zach Zaidman.
The ginger-haired genius. He was a hit yesterday, right, guys?
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Zach Zaidman, and he joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Zach, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Mully, it's been way too long. How are you?
Oh, living the dream. Absolutely thriving, Zach, to be honest with you.
Great to talk to you, Zach.
Can't believe how well things are going.
Do you have some heat? Because it is freezing outside, by the way. Hi, David. How are you?
Doing well.
I'm very excited about this baseball season. I think there's been a lot of talk about what the Cubs haven't done, but I think sometimes because of that, we don't actually take a look at what they have done. And when you look at that, plus zoom out a little bit, take a look at the landscape of the National League Central, There's a lot to like about the possibilities when it comes to this season, in
okay,
my opinion.
Okay, zoom out then. Pros and cons of asking, inquiring about Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s availability from the Blue Jays.
There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with inquiring. I just think that at this point in time, when I look at the National League Central, and this is what I'm going to say about zooming out, right? I don't think Milwaukee is as good as it was last year.
Right.
You can't look at the Brewers and say that that's going to be the same team. Now, maybe they get an infusion of youth that all of a sudden performs at a high level, but you're asking to replace two guys that were major contributors for that team a year ago. Willy Adames, the shortstop who left in the offseason to sign with the San Francisco Giants, and then they traded Devin Williams, their closer, to the Yankees. So it's a very different team right now than the team that made the playoffs last season. St. Louis right now is in a stage where the Cardinals are trying to rebuild, but they haven't quite done it successfully because they've had to navigate through some of their no-trade clauses, and they're trying to rebuild their farm system. So they're in a rebuild effort in St. Louis. Cincinnati is a team that scares me a little bit because, you know, I look at the hiring of Terry Francona as the manager there, similar to what the Cubs did when they brought in Joe Madden, where you feel like you're ready to take that next step with a lot of young players who are ready to ascend. And Pittsburgh has, you know, arguably the most famous young player in baseball in Paul Skeens, but there's not much around him, and I think they've been on a treadmill for many years. Then you look at the Cubs, and did they do as much as you probably wanted them to do if you're a diehard Cub fan this offseason? No, but they did do enough to make themselves, I think, better than the team that ended last season. And there's a lot more depth on this team, and it's good enough, I think, to win the division.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. I also think that Kyle Tucker is going to have a monster season. I think he's headed to a payday. He knows what this means to him, and he's going to be really good. And there'll be a lot of kind of fanfare around that. I think that when we look at this season, a lot of people are concentrating on kind of what they didn't get done. But if indeed Matt Shaw is as good as advertised, and I don't know if that's the case or if it's going to take longer, but it would feel as if they've got enough and they've got young guys. There's always somebody that could surprise you, that could come out of nowhere and take another step that you didn't anticipate. So I think that's the beauty of prospects. We'll see exactly how it goes down, but I think they could get a hidden help from somebody that we're not talking about right now.
Well, what you're looking to do, and this is where the acquisition of Tucker was very big for them, I think, what you're looking to do is avoid what's plagued them the last couple of seasons. And it transpired, actually, when Cody Bellinger got hurt, you saw the offense go into this prolonged slump. And I'm not talking about just a week or 2 weeks. I mean, we're talking about a month or nearly 2 months the last couple of years where you didn't quite see anything from an offensive standpoint that you needed to put yourself in a position. And then at the end of the year, yeah, they started September. They were in it with an opportunity to potentially make the playoffs, but it was too much to overcome those games that they squandered much earlier in the season with the huge prolonged offensive slump. So having a big-time bat like Tucker, I think, may help shorten those lulls that occurred during the season. In terms of Shaw, I don't know what – I think anyone who tells you that they're confident that they know what he may bring this season, they don't know. How could you with any rookie? So I think that's a little bit of a concern, which is why they went out and tried to sign Alex Bregman. And I'm seeing this stuff on Twitter. You see a lot of stuff on X or Twitter or all social media kind of comparing Justin Turner to Alex Bregman. There's no comparison. One is 10 years older than the other. Turner's 40, and while he does give the Cubs a lot of depth, the guy did hit .259 last season. He's an excellent bat, a professional hitter, loads of experience. You know, he's an excellent pinch hitter, hit .254 with a .738 OPS over the course of his career as a pinch hitter. He can play first. He's a DH. Occasionally, you might use him at third, but that's not why you signed him. Bregman was going to be slated as your everyday third baseman. There's a big difference there. You know, now where you do get better is last year off the bench, and really the last 2 years, you were relying on guys like Miles Mastroboni and Nick Madrigal. Coming into this season, now you're relying on guys like John Birdie and Justin Turner. That changes the dynamic a little bit off your bench in the last couple of years. But, you know, to your point, Mully, about guys that may surprise you, Shaw may be one of those guys, but he kind of has to be, because now that Bregman's here, he has to be a contributor. And if you look at everything he's done over the course of his brief professional life, all he's been is a contributor, right? 13th overall pick in 2023, was the AA Southern League MVP, boosted the production when he was called up and moved up to Iowa, where he hit 298 in 35 games, hit 400 for Team USA in that tournament in November with 14 RBIs in 7 games. That's all you can judge him on, is what has he done as a pro so far. And all he's done is hit. They're hoping that that can continue. But does Michael Busch take that next step as a professional player at first base, where you get even more than what you got last year, which was pretty darn good both defensively and at the plate? And do you get a consistent Pete Crow Armstrong in center field, where the guy that you saw during the second half of the season returns at the beginning of this season and you don't have two very different halves from that guy? And is the bullpen to start the year significantly better than what we've seen the last 2 years, where you know what you're getting out of spring training, so you don't have to go through a month and a half of trying to figure out the roles for everybody in the pen?
Great Cubs thoughts, Zach. And you are a man for many seasons, though. And tonight you'll be calling DePaul basketball, 7:45 pregame right here on The Score. DePaul welcomes St. John's, one of the bigger surprises in college basketball, 22-4. Rick Pitino, 72 years old, has done as good of a job with St. John's as any college basketball coach in America. How much fun will tonight be?
I think it's going to be fun to watch. I don't know if I'm wearing the DePaul uniform if it's going to be fun. It offers a great opportunity, but it's a daunting task, right? I mean, St. John's has won 11 of its last 12 games, including a victory over number 24 Creighton over the weekend. And DePaul's a lot better than the team that won just 3 games last season. DePaul's got 11 wins right now, including 2 in conference play. They lost every single conference game they played a year ago. They're trying to build a new culture with Chris Holtman in his first year as the head coach. But, man, St. John's is really, really good. Elite defensively. They're not the best offensive team, which makes that 22-4 record really impressive that you talked about, David. This was a team that the other coaches in the Big East didn't think was going to be that good, right? They, in the Big East preseason coaches poll, St. John's was picked to finish 5th. They're in first place with that 22-4 record because, and when you watch the game or listen to the game on The Score tonight, it just seems as though they've got all these long players that they're that new age positionless group, right? Where everyone looks the same. And it almost feels like they've got 6 guys on the floor defensively when you're going up against them. They pressure full court. It's just really hard to get into any kind of offensive flow against St. John's because that defense is elite, and that's been the trademark for Rick Pitino for many, many years.
Are they the best team you've seen this year, or have you seen better teams? I'm just saying live.
In person, yes. They're the best team I saw this year. In the first matchup back in December in New York,
right.
DePaul had its starting point guard back then, a really good guy from Mundelein by the name of Connor Enright, transfer from Drake. And he is one of the best floor leaders. He's second in the Big East in assists, but he injured his shoulder. He's out for the rest of the year. But in that game, even he had difficulty handling the full court pressure that Pitino brings. What's interesting, though, about this St. John's team, Mully, is that usually when you think of that prototypical Rick Pitino team, you think of threes, right? You think of guys who can just knock down threes at will. He was way ahead of the metrics that most of these teams use now, and that's going all the way back to 1987 when he led Providence and Billy Donovan, who was very young back then, to the Final Four. But I think that when you look at this St. John's team, they don't shoot the ball well at all. And yet they still have won 22 games because they don't let you score, and they do a terrific job on the boards. They're just very difficult for any team to prepare for in a short amount of time, and that is something that I think will give them an advantage come tournament time.
Great stuff,
Zach. Thank you, buddy.
Have fun tonight.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
That is Zach Zabin. Always fun to talk to Zach. 312-644-6767. It's Mullion on The Score.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.